We have been exploring Buddhi from a experiential level. That is to say, meditation and experiencing our own qualities that arise or come foreground forward during meditation, and I have termed that they are likely Buddhi on display. Now, somebody else could call them soul, capital S. Somebody else might call them something of a spiritual being. If someone were doing, practicing something of the Tao, they could be called qualities of the Tao. If someone were doing something from some of the Indian, that is to say, Asian Indian traditions, multiple traditions, they might be called Atman, capital A, qualities of Atman, capital A, that is to say, your highest consciousness, or the divine within, any tradition of divine. Now, I say that because, give that list, because we as human beings, we can call anything anything. Let's just be honest. I can call a watermelon a tomato. And if to me, that's what I want to call a watermelon, instead of what the collective generally calls a watermelon, then to me, I can call that watermelon a tomato. Now, the rest of the collective would say that's incorrect in their common language. But if I choose to do that, or you choose to do that, that's our choice. That's important. It's important that we as human beings, we name and label. And as a general statement, I would not be the first to suggest that that is not Bodhi, to name and label, categorize. The qualities that have been highlighted in our personal experience as we meditate are first off, they're psycho-spiritual. There's a experiential base to them. They're like love, expanse, openness. These kinds of things, gentleness, smooth, these kinds of things. Wordlessness would fall in the category of Bodhi, as it would in the category of the Tao, right? That's the very first Tao Te Ching reading. The Tao that can be named is not the Tao. So that's implying wordlessness, inexpressibility. Beyond that means it's beyond concepts. And we need concepts, or we wouldn't be able to function on a daily basis in any regard as a human being. Concepts are really functional. We need them, we use them. It's not that they're bad at all, right? There's a concept of love. Concept of love, we can't call the concept of love bad. We can say that a person might have a limited concept of love, or live from a skewed concept of love, or live from an amazing concept and expression of love. Right? So the idea here is that Bodhi is, although I'm naming and labeling such and such experiences that we might be sharing in meditation, or off the cushion, that awe that arises when we're in certain moments as buddhi, or qualities of buddhi. Buddhi itself is the stretch. It is the, if we use the old DK model, right? Buddhi is above manas, right? It's above, it's not only above the 18 subplanes that are the personality and all its equipment, it's above 21 subplanes, even the refined aspects, those top three subplanes of manas. Right? So those who know that model, you know that schemata. It's a so the idea of above, again, is a label, is a category. But we get the idea, and an idea is a concept. But you see, it's to stretch our mind first off into our own experience. What are we actually experiencing in any given moment? Doing anything, including thinking, including tasting, including walking. What are we experiencing? That's like a huge question. What are we, each of us individually, experiencing right now? What are the million things that we are, the million qualities, the million sensorial inputs, the million, little sparks of consciousness that are happening instantaneously right now? And what percentage of them go either A, unnoticed? Well, that's a tried and true question in this practice for decades. So go unnoticed. Which ones unnoticed? Then which ones are left in their purity, left in their ethereal, ephemeral, pristine blessing quality, i.e., not named, not categorized, but experienced, recognized, noticed? We would be, I almost don't want to use the word use, but I'm going to for communication. We would be using buddhi in that case. We've noticed, we are aware of such, qualities, and letting them be, and yet experiencing them fully without categorizing, naming, labeling. That's a big training. Yet the fact is that because we don't notice all within the million, using the term loosely, whatever we don't notice that's going on in this moment, of the million things that are going on right now in this moment that are happening that we are aware of in this moment, that awareness is aware of, the mind might not be, the personality might not be aware. It might not have noticed. That richness, that's another good word for buddhi. That richness, that treasure trove, that wish-fulfilling tree and jewel, to use those terms. It's unavailable to us. Why? Because we jump to categorize, name, and label the very obvious, the superficial, that which is habituated in our limited consciousness. That's not a judgment. That's just saying that's we reify those, we reinstate those. And that's what we have. That's our reality. Okay, with that preamble, then, we're going to use the concept, we're going to use the concept of verticality this morning. Why? Because we use it all the time. The sky is up. We got up from bed. We stand up to brush our teeth. So we use the concept like all the time, and quite often again, don't even notice that we're using it as a concept, as a categorization. So we're going to use it for meditation. We're going to use it for training this morning. Okay. There's always a lot to notice. How amazing. First, of course, we smile. We smile with the fullness of the moment. Because for all of us who are doing this right now and will do this by podcast, we have the good fortune to sit back, to sit down, concepts, concepts, and actually take notice. We are not in a life-threatening situation. And so we smile and we send that smile. First off, we just smile because that's a fact. We have this precious opportunity. Every single moment, we have the precious opportunity that those who are in terrible situations just simply don't have. And we really take that in. And we really sit with that. Because the fact is, we got nothing to complain about. And so our smile we wish from the fullness of heartfulness. We wish for all beings the end of all suffering and all its causes. causes the beings like ourselves, beings of every kind, the robin to the worm, for example, the lion to the gazelle. We're the ones that create the causes of suffering. So we sit with that for a moment, too. There's no arbitrary source of the causes of suffering. And we remind ourselves of the spectrum of suffering, discontent, disquiet, pain, disappointment, frustration, doubt, actual, like flat out suffering, homelessness, being bombed out, being starved by some other regime, or whatever it is. And you see, all of these are up. These considerations are up. Why? And we haven't even said the word. These considerations are up. These contemplations, to take them really, really in, to really apply our heart to our mind, and to hold our mind in these truths. These are truths. That's up. Because our mind likes to be down. Our mind likes to be just repeating the same things over and over again. So we really sit with the smile that we start with in our sessions. Why are we smiling? Well, there's countless reasons why. And this morning, or in this session, I personally am moved to really consider good fortune, and that not everybody and not every being has that. And that there are causes for that. And there are causes for my good fortune. And I have good fortune. No matter what are my circumstances on a physical level, Lord above, I have good fortune. And same is so for every single one of us. And to truly consider this is an up, is a verticality that we are inviting ourselves into, inviting our mind into, inviting our reality into. Then I alone am the cause of all kinds of suffering for all kinds of beings. That's the truth. That's a truth. If we think about where our water comes from, what about our electricity? How what's the carbon footprint? What kind of fossil fuels was used so that I can turn on a light or have water, running out of the faucet or have a refrigerator? What's in the refrigerator? Good Lord above, I have a refrigerator. You want to talk about good fortune on the most basic level? So these considerations, some people still say, I'm really not sure how to contemplate. I get it. I get it. Namaste. What we're doing is every morning that we do, these are examples of how to contemplate. So we smile. We smile with the sky like amazing vastness of our good fortune. And we wish it for all beings. Like factually wish it for all beings. You know, if we could carve it up. But you can't carve the sky and hand away pieces. Can we carve this up, this good fortune, and please take, please have, please, how can I support your well-being? And we smile again, just with the vibration of it. Knowing that that vibration is radiating just by fact of being a vibration. It's emanating out. We smile and take a long, slow, deep breath with the whole world. And pray for the end of all suffering and all its causes. And pray for deep and abiding contentment for all beings and their causes. Encourage ourselves to awaken the wisdom within. Encourage ourselves to live from equanimity, a wholeness of being that recognizes the wholeness of others. And wish the same for all beings. Love you all. Create your day.